Welcome to the Best Books Podcast, an Orchard Hill Church podcast that helps people choose their next book. We really wanted to start this because there are just so many books out there that you could read. I find that in my daily life, people are constantly recommending me books. And so we thought that this would be a great service to our church members to be able to help them kind of cut through the fat and help them understand these are some really, really quality books. Thank you for joining us today, whether you're listening on the Orchard Hill Plus feed or watching on YouTube. We're so glad that you're here. My guest today is a former school counselor with a big heart for kids ministry. Please welcome to the show for episode 3, Katie Thomas. Katie, how's it going?
Oh, it's going well, Jonathan. Thanks so much for having me here today.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. Thanks for coming on the show. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, and what you do here at Orchard Hill.
Yeah, well, I'm married to Tyler, who's also on staff. He runs the website and manages the database that houses all of the member information. And is a huge help to me because I do not really understand the database at times. Sure. So I am so grateful that I have kind of an in on the IT side of things. And we are blessed to have a sweet 13-month-old boy named Jack. He is just brings so much joy and happiness into our lives. And it's just been such a fun ride just watching him grow and learn and change just so constantly. So
awesome. Yeah, going back to Tyler a little bit, what's it like having working with your spouse?
Yeah.
I don't know what that's like. The closest thing there was a time where I worked at a bank and my wife worked at a building right next door, so we were able to see each other. Oh. But I just feel like it's next level to be working in the same building.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is nice. When my schedule allows, we'll carpool together, so save a little bit on gas.
Yeah.
And you know, just wear and tear on your vehicle. But Tyler is just. The way you see him here at staff, he's just so easygoing and level-headed. That's just how he is at home. So it makes it really easy to work with him. And I appreciate it sometimes if I'm in the ministry on Sunday morning and the computer's not working, and I just call up my husband and say, Tyler, this is not working. Help me. And he just calmly walks me through whatever my tech issue is. So I'm very grateful just to have the opportunity to work with him and just to do ministry together.
Mm-hmm.
And I also appreciate it too because Tyler also sees what's happening here at Orchard Hill. He understands the level of Kids Fest and I'm here at church a little bit more often during Kids Fest just because of everything that's going on. And he is so supportive and understanding and picks up the load at home. And it's fun to work with him. Yeah,
I'm sure sometimes, especially with when it comes to the busier season, it'd probably be easy for a spouse to kind of, I don't want to say resentment, but it could be easy to feel resentful toward the church because, that person's taking my spouse away from me all the time.
Right.
So I'm sure it's cool to be with someone like Tyler who's not only gets it and understands it, but is a part of it on the staff.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are definitely blessed in this, this time of our lives. So it's fun to work with him.
Yeah, you mentioned that kids ministry can be kind of crazy during a weekend service. So why don't you tell us a little bit about kids ministry and feel free to tell people how they can find out more and even serve in kids ministry.
Yeah, absolutely. So kids ministry is just a blast. Before I was even on staff, I served in the ministry and, helped out with leading small groups in elementary and teaching elementary and was able to serve at Kids Fest by being a Bible story teacher. But Kids Ministry, Kids Berg, is our program, and it's for children ages newborn through fifth grade. And kids come to Kids Berg just to find out how much they are loved by God and by the church. And so kids can grow in their own faith. They learn more about the Bible and God's Word. They spend time with other kids, other peers their own age, and build, those relationships, that make it exciting to come back to church, make it exciting to come back and learn about God's word. There are leaders in the ministry that serve. That's how they serve God. They serve the church. They give up their time on the weekends just to pour into these kids and give them hope for a future, hope for life change. Once they are followers of Jesus, that they can experience that peace and that joy and that just all the good things, the fruit that comes from following Jesus. So kids ministry is busy. We are growing. There's lots of new families all the time. We love it. It's exciting. Kids ministry always is welcoming to people who want to point kids to find and follow Jesus. The easiest way to get involved with kids ministry, with Kids Berg, is to go online to orchardhillchurch.com/kids. And about halfway down the webpage, there is an application about how to serve. You serve at Wexford, Strip District, Butler, And we can fill that application out about the campus, you know, which campus you would like to serve at, and a staff member will be in touch with you about your application and getting you connected to the ministry. So,
wonderful. On a personal note, I'm just curious, have you always enjoyed working with kids, or is that something that's kind of grown from, okay, why don't you talk
about
that? Yeah,
always enjoyed working with kids. Yeah. I'm actually the oldest child in my family, oldest grandchild on one side of my family, so I have probably like eight or so, I forget the count, but I have cousins that are younger, so just watching them grow up and take care of them, and I volunteered at a separate camp that had a lot of religious foundations that was serving kids actually in the foster care system, and it was just an amazing experience just to, you know, work with kids and serve them and, you know, help bring them back to Jesus. And that, it's just always been something, part of my life, just working with kids. And here at Orchard Hill, just, you know, pointing them to Jesus, right, giving them that hope for that eternal future with the creator of the universe, and just helping them see, you know, how much life is richer, that life improvement, how, you know, there's that Jesus-sized hole in our hearts that only Jesus can fill, and just, you know, helping them grow in their own personal walk with God. It's been just so meaningful and so fun.
Yeah, I remember that was something I connected with you on our first day. I remember we were talking, and you said you had sort of like a psychology background. I mentioned up front that you were a school counselor for a number of years, and I just think that's so neat that you're able to use that. Use the you know, the classic phrase, Jesus-sized hole. And I'm sure you're able to see that in a past life or so, but you're unable to really address it because of, you know, just different roles. So I just, I know it's got to be satisfying for you. It's even satisfying for me to see you in a role like this, where it's like, oh, I'm sure that's from having that school counselor perspective. I'm sure that's being in a kids ministry where you're not only allowed, but you're encouraged to talk about the Lord. I'm sure that's a really cool thing.
And just having that experience in public education, you know, with IEPs and different diagnoses, and, you know, how do you get in front of a group of kids and share God's word with them in a way that's that keeps them engaged and interested? Not that I do it perfectly by any means. Always can learn, always can improve, but yeah, it's just cool how, you know, our trainings and backgrounds and education outside of church can help us, you know, just better minister to others and better point them to God. So.
Yeah. Well, as we transition to the book, I have kind of a silly question. I have a strange fascination for mascots of smaller schools, because I feel like they often, my dad teaches at Murray State University in Kentucky, and their mascot are the Racers. You're like, what's a racer? It's a horse, you know, but there's always, you can't just say like the Thoroughbreds or the Stallions, you got to go Racers. And so I saw, according to your bio, that you went to Minnesota State for your undergrad, is that correct?
Yep.
And then Geneva College for your master's, and I actually did some research, and I found that the two mascots are the Minnesota State Mavericks.
And
the golden tornadoes of Geneva College.
Yes.
So which mascot do you like more and why?
Yeah.
Or when you go to a small school, does it even like, unless you're into sports, do you even know about the mascot?
Sure.
I'd be curious.
Sure. So Minnesota State University Mankato, it was where I got my undergrad from. And they are a state school, but it's a smaller state school, and they actually have a D1 hockey team. So when I think of that, actually, they are in the playoffs. They're advancing towards the Frozen Four right now.
Okay.
So they have a game actually this afternoon about, you know, do they advance on? Are they going to make it? But just reminding of my time, you know, at MSU Mankato, the Mavericks is just fun. Just, you know, horns up, and there's a lot of energy around it, you know, from that classic state school, and just people are very passionate about their hockey team there. And they have a great football team as well.
Okay.
That will actually feed into, at times, different players will have gone on to the Minnesota Vikings as well there. So they're really big into sports.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. Well, today we're talking about a book that's gospel-centered kids ministry, and it's called Show Them Jesus by Jack Klumpenhauer. I think for obvious reasons we're going to call him Jack K. Maybe from time to time I'll try to say Klumpenhauer, but I'm just afraid that I'm going to totally butcher it, so I think it's I go back and forth. Is it more respectable to call him Jack K, or is it more respectable to call him his God-given name, you know?
There are a lot of consonants in there, so I understand.
Yeah. It's difficult. But like I said, the topic is simply gospel-centered teaching geared toward kids. Katie, this idea of gospel centrality, is big in some Christian circles to the point where different people can mean different things by it. And if you're hearing it for the first time, it can get kind of confusing. What do you really mean by gospel-centered teaching? So in your own words, you know, how would you define the phrase gospel-centered teaching? And then maybe what does it mean to be gospel-centered?
Sure. So, you know, when I hear that, I really think of it's just intentionally focusing on the life-saving and the life-changing news of Jesus Christ. And, you know, weaving the story of Jesus and God throughout the entire story. And not just, I think as Kurt had mentioned earlier, just having as a Bible, as a Jesus bullet point, you know, to this story. Not just, you know, giving the story, sharing the you know, whatever it is that you're talking about, you know, biblically wise, and then adding, oh yeah, and Jesus did this, you know, as more of an afterthought. You know, it's being intentional of showing how God is at work throughout the story and how there is life change, and look at what Jesus has already done for us throughout the entire teaching. Is just kind of what comes to mind when I hear of that that gospel-centered teaching.
Yeah, wonderful. I think gospel-centered teaching is something that can be kind of addicting in a way. It's something where I think as a kid, I would hear gospel-centered sermons, and I always knew those are the sermons I liked the most because I felt like it was focusing so much on my my inability to do what I knew deep down that I was a sinner. But in my church growing up, I don't know what your experience was like. This book kind of touched on the idea of like a gospel day, you know, a couple times a year, or maybe even just once a year, there'd be sort of a, let's get people to sign up for Jesus. You know, that was the kind of the mentality. And I want to say up front that I think this comes from a good heart. I don't think I don't think it's wise to sort of villainize people. And I think Jack Kay does a really good job in this book of coming at it from a humble perspective of just saying, hey, I think I have a method that's a little bit better. So along those lines, you know, what has been your journey with this topic? Do you feel like gospel-centered teaching has been the norm in your experience, or was it kind of similar to my story where it's like I grew up one way and then I've kind of figured it out along the way?
Yeah. So my parents, I have been married for over 30 years. My mom is Lutheran and my dad is Catholic, and they still chose to separately worship. And, you know, the Catholic Church for my dad and the Lutheran Church for my mom. So my younger sister and I went to the Lutheran Church with my mom, and we went to Sunday school, you know, before church, and then we would go to church service. And in middle school, I went through the confirmation classes for 3 years before being confirmed and taking communion in eighth grade. But, you know, looking back, I just remember so much of the law side of God and like the to-do list, and you needed to do these things in order to measure up. I don't think, you know, reflecting on my experience in the church, I don't think I really developed that personal relationship with God until maybe late high school and college. I've always believed, I can't really remember a time when I didn't believe in Jesus. That faith has always been there, but just that personal relationship didn't really continue to grow and develop as I was just searching for more. I'm like, I know that faith can, that this can offer me so much more, so I just needed to, you know, dive into it and learn more about God and learn more about Jesus and who he is. So, you know, it's amazing just to be here at Orchard Hill, where we are just so focused on developing that personal relationship with Jesus. And, you know, the Bible is God's word, but God's not giving us this major to-do list that we have to check all of the boxes in order to have that relationship. God knows that we're going to mess up, and that is why he sent Jesus to the cross, because he knows that we are sinners. You know, when Jesus did defeat death and he resurrected from the grave, and we can rejoice in that fact that he beat death, and we can just relish in the fact that we can experience the peace and the joy that comes from just following him, you know, as believers of Jesus. So
yeah, I like that you focus so much on the idea of life change, because my next question was going to be, you know, why do you think this topic is important? And I think that answers it pretty plainly. It's important because lives are at stake, you know, and not just in the sense that people signing up to go to heaven, but the quality of your life goes up when you tap into the peace that God has for you, when you realize, okay, I don't need to be burdened by this to-do list. And in fact, based on what Christ has done, that actually motivates me to be able to do those things. And seeing that is incredibly important. Mm-hmm. So yeah, thanks so much for sharing that. Yeah. I'd love to just get into some of the broad arguments mm-hmm. of the book, just a broad outline. Once we get to the book itself, I think it's helpful to start off with sort of the big picture of mm-hmm. the book. In this book, I would say the big picture idea is that when we teach the Bible, no matter what passage or what story we're in, we want to connect it to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to mm-hmm. connect it to the life change that is available. So the message is not so much, mm-hmm. here's what you need to do, go do these things, but rather, look how Christ has done. Look how Christ has done what you are unable mm-hmm. to do on your own, and sort of let that motivate you to then go and do these things. Mm-hmm. Katie, I've heard it said like this as a sort of metaphor. Many people think that the gospel is a sort of like a diving board into the Christian mm-hmm. life, but I've heard it said that the gospel mm-hmm. is actually the pool itself. That it's mm-hmm. it's there's always a connection to the gospel and. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I think that's helpful. But would you sort of agree with that? Is there anything else you would add that you've taken away from this book? Is like this is the boiling down. Mm-hmm. This is the big picture idea. Mm-hmm.
So in Kidsburg, we use a curriculum called the Gospel Project, and Lifeway produces it, and mm-hmm. we like it because every story, every Bible lesson, every weekend, there is a Christ connection that the Gospel Project includes, even in the Old Testament. When people say, psh, where do you see Jesus in the Old Testament? Mm-hmm. He's not even born yet. But they're wrong. You can see Jesus, you can see God at work, even in the Old Testament. And just reminding kids that, you know, Jesus is still around. He's still there, you know, mm-hmm. even though he's not on earth yet, right? Yeah. Jesus still is the Son of God, and he's still very much alive and still very much, you know, present, mm-hmm. even, you know, in the Old Testament. So that just reminded me, you know, that, you know, we are being intentional in Kidsburg about, you know, making sure kids know that Jesus is the center, you know, of our teaching. And I think even, you know, in today's world, it's just so, you know, self-centered and self-driven. And we are rewarded for things that we are doing. You know, think about in high school, we study to take a standardized test. And based on how we do on said standardized test, maybe we'll get into the college of our choice. And we go to college and we get our degree and, you know, we get a job. And a lot of jobs are performance-based, mm-hmm. right? If you do a lot of work, you might get a raise. You might get a job title increase or job title change. Yeah. A lot of it is just so dependent on our performance and what we do. But the gospel is different, right? We just need that faith. We need to put our faith and our trust in Jesus. He's not asking us to, you know, check all of these boxes and do all of these things. Mm-hmm. And because of our heart change, we realize that God's way really is the best way. And might not be what society is saying, but it is the best way for us, you know, keeping us safe. It is the best way to show God respect and honor. Mm-hmm. And our life changes as a result of our heart change.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Well, I wanted to sort of break down how the author, Jack Klumpenhauer, goes through making this case. So mm-hmm. he sort of divides the book into two sections. In section one, he talks about the biblical basis for why we should teach in a gospel-centered way. Mm-hmm. And then in section two, he talks really practically about how we should teach in a gospel-centered way. Mm-hmm. And I like the way he goes about this because I think there is a temptation to think that we're sort of putting a round peg through a square hole in a way, where we want this to be true. We want gospel centrality to be true, so we're going to make it true. But mm-hmm. I think it's really wise that he goes through very slowly and methodically, and he shows that, no, this is actually what the Bible says. This is the Bible's testimony about mm-hmm. itself. I think that was when the light really went on for me. When I was in college, I had someone kind of walk me through the Old Testament mm-hmm. and show how it was really a story that pointed to Christ. Mm-hmm. It was a story that I remember we went through the book of Moses and how there were parallels to the book of mm-hmm. Matthew and how Matthew wrote mm-hmm. the book trying to parallel Jesus' life toward Moses's and how that's what Matthew's trying to get at is that Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that the law and the mm-hmm. prophets, the Old Testament, was pointing towards. So mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but it's so much easier to get behind something when you feel like this is, we're not making this up here. This is something that isn't new. Mm-hmm. But then I think he also does a good job of sort of adopting a defensive posture in a lot of ways. You know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of times in the book where he addresses those people who he says, you know, you might not agree with this, and here's some questions you might be asking. Mm-hmm. So why do you think he adopts this defensive sort of posture? And what is it about mm-hmm. gospel-centered teaching that people might not be so ready to embrace. It might be a little bit harder to embrace that, or people might push back on it.
Mm-hmm. I think in the book, at one point in the very beginning, he had kind of mentioned about how kids are going to school. They have, you know, I think it was Sesame Street he had quoted. Mm-hmm. They have teachers about how to make good choices, you know, what things we should be doing, you know, how to be kind to others, how to share, right? But, you know, at church, we need to be sharing about the gospel and about that life change that Jesus provides. Mm-hmm. And Jack also mentions throughout his book that the gospel is offensive, right? No matter how many churchy behaviors, no matter how many times we come to church or how many times we, you know, are in prayer with God, like that's not going to earn our way, you know, into salvation. You know, it is by faith alone that we have that choice to experience the peace, right? That surpasses all understanding. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's hard, you know, a lot of people, it's hard to just sort of wrestle your mind, like, you know, you don't have, there's not a checklist that we have to do for that.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating how the gospel is the same message, and yet it can be interpreted in totally different ways. And it makes me think about, I think it's in the book of Luke where there's a tax collector and then like a Pharisee or someone who's a little self-righteous. And, and the same gospel message to the tax collector is the most beautiful thing he's ever heard. And yet to the Pharisee, it's like, well, this means all the stuff that I've done throughout my life has been sort of a waste, and that's not true. You know, it's not a waste, but it's the idea that there's nothing we can do to earn God's acceptance can be offensive, as you were saying.
Right.
I think another helpful thing that he does is he puts a lot of practical stories in place. As we were preparing for this, I was sort of reviewing the book, and it was easy to kind of recall these things. Was there a particular story that you remember that stuck out to you?
Oh, there was lots. Mm-hmm. I also appreciate just Jack's honesty. You know, he admits mistake, he admits fault, or, oh, I was doing this wrong for a while, you know, and it's just so reassuring that, you know, although, you know, he has these years of experience, he even still doesn't have it all figured out. He is just a sinner. He's just a sinner just like you and I are.
Right.
But he does have that life experience. He has that wisdom. He has that experience, you know, in front of kids in particular, that he can share with others. You know, we know iron sharpens iron, so, you know, from Proverbs. And so hopefully, yeah, there's just knowing that, but there was a lot of interesting just stories that he had shared with the readers. And I did like the gospel report card analogy.
Yeah.
That was just a cool visual of, you know, what Jesus does for us. Kidsburg right now is actually in the middle of a 3-week gospel family study course. And so that might pop up still. We have one more session. It's a 3-week course that just walks kids and their families through the gospel. It's been really beautiful just seeing families open up the Bibles with their children and look at God's word and examine it. We'll see if the report card analogy kind of pops up here, maybe in this last session. I got to see if it can fit. But it's definitely got our wheels turning about how do we maybe share this news and share this in a different way, a different analogy. I also liked his shark analogy towards the end about it was kind of like a, you know, in the water you see the water surface and you see a shark's fin.
I've never actually seen a shark's fin. But
right.
Everyone knows. Yeah.
Right. Right. Exactly. Here, especially being here in Pennsylvania, you know, being a little bit more landlocked.
Yeah, yeah.
But hopefully, if you see a shark's fin, right, you are safely on a boat or safely on shore, right? No one's in the water.
Yeah.
We see that water surface, and we see that shark's fin, you know, kind of break the surface. You know, the fin itself isn't necessarily scary, but, like, the shark underneath, right, is very frightening. We know what danger that can do. So it's also just like sin. You know, we see that sin action, but what is kind of like that motivation? What's the underlying cause of that behavior? You know, there are so many ways we can sin, so many ways we can, you know, just fall short. You know, whether it is, you know, through addictions or lying or, you know, being deceitful, you know, but why are we choosing those actions? What is causing us to make those choices? Is it because we don't feel confident in who we are? We don't feel confident in our relationship with God? You know, we really, you know, just looking at that from that perspective, like what should we be focusing on, you know, to correct maybe that sinful choice? So
yeah, it reminds me of something Jesus says to the Pharisees, which is really thought-provoking, of sort of the irrationality of behavior correction. He talks about washing a cup. It's very simple. I have a coffee mug right here, and how silly would it be that every time I cleaned this coffee mug, if I only cleaned the outside? And I said, look, it's clean. And then you looked inside and it was just like years and years of coffee just caked in. Jesus says that's kind of what we do, and we only focus on the outside of the cup. And so really, in a lot of ways, a gospel-centered kids ministry, though it at times it might seem more difficult, it's just the most rational thing to do is to say, hey, this outward behavior is the result of an inward heart disposition, a heart that isn't believing the gospel, that isn't believing in God's love in one way or another.
Right.
So.
Right. It's, you know, it's important to be kind, right? We should be kind to others. We should share what we have, you know, those kind of things. But why?
Right.
Why should we be kind? Because Jesus was ultimately the most kind person, right? Jesus was kind to others. He was, you know, he gave up his life for us, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, pointing back to Jesus, the why behind the behavior.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Kay. This has been wonderful. We like to sort of conclude these episodes with more gearing toward Orchard Hill specifically, sort of equipping our members and people who just attend Orchard Hill to of a way to understand this book and why it matters for them. So this book is obviously extremely helpful for teachers. I mean, the subtitle is Teaching the Gospel to Kids. But I wanted to ask you, you know, what do you think about non-teachers? Is it helpful to people who just maybe they just attend a Bible study or other Bible church activities? How is it helpful to them?
Yes, there was a quote in here. Let me try to find it about how if we, chapter 1, page 21, Jack wrote, the power is in the message. If you know the good news of Jesus and dare to tell it, you are supremely gifted to advance God's kingdom, no matter how well you speak, right? That's all we need to do to share the good news of Jesus with others.
Yeah.
Whether that other is a child or a middle-aged person or an older adult, you know, everyone needs to know the gospel. And so, yeah, you know, maybe you are not currently serving in kids ministry or student ministry. This book will be helpful. There's lots of helpful tips throughout. You know, the chapters wrap up with parents, here's some tips for you. Teachers, here's some tips for you. And I also appreciated that anyone, here are some tips for you. There are tips in this book. Almost every chapter, I think every chapter ends that way. Most include that anyone section about how you can grow in your faith, how you can take those principles or those highlights, those bullet points from his lesson and dive into your faith and strengthen it, and how you can, you know, maybe better share the gospel with others.
Yeah, I think the best books are those that not only teach us information, but give us application of how to actually put these into place. And I just want to give a plug for this book. If you want a book that's heavy on application, heavy on how can I actually do this in my everyday life, this is a great option.
Yeah.
Because at the end of every single chapter, there's at least a page of show them Jesus right away. I think that's the subtitle he always uses. So, how has this book impacted how you as a kids ministry director, very relevant for you, how has this impacted, you know, how you assess the teaching that goes on in Kidsburg and how you kind of assess I'm sure it redefines success in a lot of ways for maybe other kids ministries.
Right, absolutely. You know, it's always a great idea just to take another look at the ministry. You know, what is happening? How can we be better at it? How can we be better at sharing the gospel and being intentional with sharing the gospel with kids? So, you know, lately, since reading it, we have pointed out and encouraged teachers those three things that Jack had pointed out in chapter 6, page 102. You know, what is God doing for his people in this story? How does God do the same for us, only better in Jesus? And how does believing this good news change how we live? So just encouraging teachers to really, like, tease that out as they are preparing, you know, the lesson for the weekend and really focusing on that so that they can share that with kids, you know, during ministry.
I love that because we always want people who are serving in our ministries to develop as believers in Jesus Christ. You know, it's we don't want to be the type of ministry that uses people. We want to develop people, develop leaders. And I love that simple methodology of what is Jesus doing in the story? How has he done it for you? How can you do it for others? Because people can go and apply that to their own devotional lives. You know, you can you can do that. You know, you can do it, Katie.
Yeah.
You know, you can read a chapter a day and sort of think in that lens of what is God doing in this story?
Right.
And obviously it's different when it's not a story, it's not a narrative, all that stuff. But
And we can still learn, you know, even if you did grow up in the church, you know, you went to Sunday school or some kids' ministry program on the weekends, and you know, we can still pull things that we had or see things in God's word that maybe we haven't seen before, we haven't thought of before, you know, as we dive into His Word. So I don't think, you know, our learning can ever stop with God's Word. We're constantly being reminded of things or seeing things, or maybe we're in a certain time of our life, a certain season, and different things kind of speak to us in different ways. But I think it is still important, you know, even for those stories that, you know, we feel familiar with, right? Like, oh, I can tell this story in my sleep. We still need to be in God's Word, and we still need to see how He is at work in it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Katie, thanks so much for talking about Jack Klumpenhauer's book, Show Them Jesus. Really appreciate your time and yeah, just getting to know you a little bit better.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no problem. If you like this episode, feel free to subscribe to Orchard Hill Plus for more podcasts like this from Orchard Hill Church. If you really like this episode, we'd love for you to tell other people about it, or even maybe write a review on Apple Podcasts, or for our YouTube viewers to comment on the video below. Your reviews and comments helps others find this podcast platform. It helps people find Orchard Hill Church, and it helps them ultimately find Jesus. So stay tuned for our next episode coming out in July. I'm Jonathan, and this has been Best Books.